الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم، وإذا أراد الله بقوم سوءا فلا مرد له. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا ظهر الزنا والربا في قرية فقد أحلوا بأنفسهم عذاب الله، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, Allah Ta'ala has created this dunya and placed the system of cause and effect in it, which is a common thing that we understand in terms of day-to-day issues. Person is hungry, and he will eat that food that he has consumed will inshallah satisfy his hunger. Person is thirsty, he will drink something that inshallah will quench his thirst. Person is sick, he will take some medication, he will have some treatment, and inshallah that will become the means of his illness being cured. So this is a very clear and straightforward thing. We understand it in terms of day-to-day life, and we therefore take the precautions in terms of doing what we are supposed to do, which means we must adopt. What are the harmful means? Nobody goes and deliberately puts his hand into a fire because that fire burns. Nobody deliberately eats any poisonous substance because that might kill him. It might be fatal. So we eat what is good, what is nutritious. We drink that which is good. We refrain from that which is harmful. Because this is a system which Allah Ta'ala has placed in the dunya. Though at times Allah Ta'ala wills, then it will happen contrary to that means also. There's no time to go into those details. Like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala saved him from getting burnt in any way, right in the fire that he stayed in for 40 days. So nothing happened to him. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he took the poison that was offered to him, and he recited, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim, and he consumed it and nothing happened to him and everything was fine. But not everybody is Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. We are definitely not him, so we should definitely not try such a thing. So in any case, this is a straightforward thing that we understand in terms of day-to-day life. The same cause and effect that we understand in this regard, it applies even to our spiritual selves. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has linked occurrences, conditions of dunya with certain means that we produce. For example, in the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala says, وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزَقُكَ. That command your family members, your house folk, to be punctual on their salah, to perform their salah, and you be punctual upon it yourself. And together with this, Allah Ta'ala says, لا نسألك رزقا. We don't ask you for sustenance, we provide it. And these two things being mentioned side by side is the lesson, and this is explained in many ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that constancy on salah, punctual performance and constancy on salah, not four times a day, five times a day, properly with this etiquette, adabs. This is a means of a person's rizq becoming easy. People unfortunately discard their salah because they're chasing after this rizq. Person is too busy to perform his salah because he's trying to make money. And then he on top of that wants to ask for dua for barakat. But where the barakat lies, where the ease of rizq is, that is in the constant performance of salah. In discarding that job, that occupation, that business, and whatever else comes in the way for that period of time, and attending and coming into the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and performing the salah, this is the means of that rizq. So the means of rizq is salah. Likewise, this barakat in this rizq we want, then in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man ahabba ayyubsata lahu fi rizqi wa yunsa'a lahu fi athari falyasil rahima. The person who loves to have barakat in his rizq, and he loves to have barakat in his life, then what is the prescription, or what is the means that will bring it? Then falyasil rahima. Then let him join family ties, maintain kinship, be good to his relatives. Do not cut family ties. Now Allah Ta'ala has made this the means. Now, how does this become the means? Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat. We have been explained, like many chemicals, certain chemicals mix, it creates a certain explosion. Some chemicals mix, it'll create some other kind of effect. Now somebody wants to start questioning, but why does this chemical have this effect? At the end of the day, one will have to just simply answer, because Allah Ta'ala has put it in there. So likewise, Allah Ta'ala has put the effect of barakat in life and wealth. Allah Ta'ala has put that effect in what? In maintaining family ties. So in any case, this is the one side of it. That to get these good things, a person will have to do these good amal. These good amal are the means to gain these good conditions. But then there's the other side of it. That negative amal, wrong actions, bring about negative consequences. Allah Ta'ala has made that means also, that link. In many ahadith, this is explained in detail. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that when people will cheat in weight and measure, now this will become the means. The means of what? Ukhidhu bis-sinin. Then famine will come about. And there will be what we can term in our terminology, rampant inflation. We will sit and analyze it and ask the economists for the whole analysis and review of it. We've already been given the review beforehand. The analysis has been given to us upfront. That when people will cheat in weight and measure, then this will become the situation. And it'll become the means to what? To oppression. And when people will withhold zakat, lam yumtaru, then the rains will be held back. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, walawla al-baha'im, had it not been for the sake of the animals that are also the creatures of Allah Ta'ala, then not a single drop of rain would have come down. And when they will break the covenant of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the agreement, the pact that we have made with Allah and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when we will break this, then sallat Allahu alayhim aduwwan min ghayrihim. Then an enemy from outside will become dominant over them. فَأَخَذُوا بَعْضَ مَا فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ, and they will loot them. And then further Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that when there will be all kinds of immorality and vice, then there will be such kind of diseases that will spread which their forefathers had never heard of. So all these things have been spelled out to us. It's not something that we have to go very far for the analysis, have to go very far for the kind of reviews and the... It's all spelled out for us. So sins bring about bad conditions, bring about difficulties, hardships. In the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that a person gets deprived of rizq. The rizq that was being descended for him, bidhambi yusibuhu, as a result of the sin that he has committed. That rizq was coming, and that sin he committed, that rizq is taken away. But then there's something even worse than sin. Sins bring about very difficult conditions, very hard conditions. But then there's something worse than sin. Something worse than sin, what can be worse than sin? Worse than sin is blatant sin. Open sin. One is a father, he discovers that his son is up to something. He finds that his 10-year-old son, 12-year-old son is smoking.
So the 12-year-old son, he caught him out by chance that he's smoking. He's going to be very upset, obviously. But then if that 12-year-old son comes and blatantly in front of the father lights up, is the both the same? One is he finds his son watching some filth on the phone. He just by chance walked in and he sees this is what's going on. And the other is the son comes and he tells his father, let me show you something. Is both the same? He's looking at the same thing. Oh, he's not bothered, he's not showing his father that come and see it, but in front of him. He's opening up whatever sight he wants and not concerned that even his father is here, his mother is here. So is the both the same? It's worlds apart. Any one of us can understand it, it's worlds apart. So likewise, sin is bad enough. But worse than sin is open sin. And in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that kullu ummati mu'afan illa al-mujahirin. Everyone in my ummah will be pardoned. Inshallah, the person will have some regret, whatever, he'll be pardoned. Illa al-mujahirin, but the open sinners, those who are not concerned what they are doing, they are not concerned that they are openly defying Allah Ta'ala. What is a person is hiding and doing something that is bad enough, but that too shows some kind of consciousness. It shows some concern that I shouldn't be doing this. That's why I'm hiding. There is some realization that this is wrong. But when a person is doing it blatantly, openly, it is as if to say, who's going to stop me from doing it? It's my life. And why am I being told what to do? I will do what I want to do. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that everyone in the ummah will be pardoned, illa al-mujahireen, except the blatant, the open sinners. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives one example of this mujahara, of this blatant and open sinning. This is one way of how this happens. Wa inna min al-mujahara. This is one of the ways it happens. That a person sometimes commits something secretly. What he did was wrong and he did it secretly. But then the next morning he wakes up and then he says, Ya Fulan, Amiltul Barihata Kaza wa Kaza. He starts talking about it. He starts discussing it with others. That what I did last night, where I went, and I did this and I did that. وَقَدْ بَاتَ يَسْتُرُهُ رَبَّهُ فَيُسْبِحُ يَكْشِفُ سِتْرَ اللَّهِ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah Ta'ala also concealed his fault in the night. Allah Ta'ala also gave him some respite that whatever he did, but he will probably repent the next morning. Instead of repenting the next morning, he is now openly talking about it. This is that mujahara. This is open defiance of Allah Ta'ala. That I did something, but I will blatantly expose it also. Allah Ta'ala concealed it. He is tearing open this veil of Allah Ta'ala. This person has exposed himself to the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. So this is one way this happens. One is to commit the sin. The other is to expose it oneself. Idharu dhambi dhambun. To expose a sin is another sin. And this creates the environment of sin. It starts putting ideas in other people's minds. That this person seems to have had a great time, let me also go try it out. So we've become the means to other people's sin. Person has seen something and now he's inviting others. He's becoming the agent of shaitan. So that is one thing which is bad enough already. Then another way this happens is that a person can't be bothered who's watching, what's going on. And among the ways that this has started becoming very rife is the social media. Person does anything and the next day he's circulating that for everyone. Allah forbid even taking pictures of the haram that he has committed and for the whole world to see what went on. This is boasting over sin. Sinning was bad enough. Boasting over sin? Like a person, his child comes to him and one is that he smashed the car. So now when he smashed the car and he smashed it out of negligence. Not accidentally. But then he still came and he started being very regretful, remorseful. But he smashes the car deliberately and then he comes and tells his father, what are you going to do about it? He comes and tells his father, yes, I smashed it. You know me, my name, so and so. Your son. Is that father going to tolerate this? Now this is what it tantamounts to. When a person is boasting over that sin, That he's saying to Allah, what are you going to do about it? I did it. And I will do it again. I'm not interested who's watching. While this may not be the words somebody may say, but this is what it almost tantamounts to. That a person commits the haram, and on top of that, he is now circulating it for the whole world to see what's going on. So he's actually challenging Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is at mujahara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, such people won't be pardoned. A person via the social media does anything and everything and then circulates it for everybody to now see what's going on. And this invites the wrath of Allah ta'ala. Then, among many other things, for example, dressing. What kind of dressing is being adopted? And especially by the woman. And we can't say that we got nothing to do with it. We're not wearing it. It's happening in our houses. That kind of garments and clothing, which we have discussed many times, Allah forbid, that this is just a wildfire that is, that if 50 years ago, even a disbelieving woman also would have rather dropped dead than wear it. But nobody is batting an eyelid. What is happening? Is this not mujahara? It is not open defiance of Allah Ta'ala. That the Western principle of dressing in this stage and long before from now, is that it must be maximum exposure. That is the principle by which Western dressing is. And have we not also fallen in the same trap? Maximum exposure in whichever way. Either the clothing is so short that it's exposing over almost everything, or it's so tight that it's still exposing everything. And this is openly just being done like nothing has happened. What's wrong with this? Who's going to say anything? I'll dress as I want. And then another aspect, where this open sin takes place and then displayed for all, is unfortunately what has become common practice in weddings. The kind of things that happen in weddings nowadays, which is as if that we are trying to invite the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that إِذَا زَهَرَ الزِّنَا وَالْرِبَى فِي قَرْيَةٍ فَقَدْ أَحَلُّوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. When zina and interest, transacting an interest in whichever form, giving, taking, whatever, when this will become rife in a community, then they have invited. But it will come. The word Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, they've already invited the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. When it comes, Allah Ta'ala knows. Recently we had these xenophobic attacks and issues that came. This was a little wake-up call for us. Small little wake-up call. That how in one moment things can just turn around. In one moment everything can just go in some other direction. And in these weddings what goes on, there's music, there's intermingling, and then there's dancing, Allah forbid. And all these things carry on, and then on top of that it'll all be videoed. For everybody to keep the evidence of it. And on the day of Qiyamah also this evidence will be there. As if the angels are not sufficient to keep the evidence. Now is this not inviting the wrath of Allah Ta'ala? Many years back in 1961, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahimahullah, great scholar of our recent past, passed away about some 15 years ago. He was a person who was well acclaimed throughout the Indo-Pak subcontinent and throughout the Arab lands also. And received the King Faisal Award for service to Deen and Islam. Over 1 million riyals he received, and he distributed every cent of it among the institutions of Deen in India. Didn't keep 1 cent for himself. That was the caliber of the person. In any case, he visited Burma in 1961. And he was quite young at that time still. And he saw what was going on. And the complete wastage that was happening. And the lavish weddings and the kind of wastage. In our times, the wastage has taken a different form. In that time, it was a different form. Nowadays, while around us, there are people who don't have flour to make their bread. They don't even have flour. But in one wedding, there are tens of thousands of rands being spent on flowers just to be then thrown away and dumped. And people don't have flour to have some bread. What answer will give to Allah Ta'ala? There are tens of thousands of rands being spent on cards. There are people who are sleeping on cardboard. What answer we will give to Allah Ta'ala? This wealth is an amanat of Allah Ta'ala. A person would be questioned about it on the day of Qiyamah. So in any case, he saw all this wastage taking place and whatever else was going on, and the indifference and the open manner in which this was happening. And then he gave a talk which is on record. The audio record of that is still on some websites, and the translation of that has been also published. And in that, it was as if that he was speaking without even knowing what he was saying. It was inspiration. In that sense, he was saying something that it was just spontaneous. And in that talk, what he said was that he very strongly advised the people that, look, start becoming conscious of deen. Start doing the work of deen. And invite people towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Invite people towards righteousness. And stop all these kind of issues that you are involved in. And then he said something, he expressed himself, I'm just giving the summary of it, that he said when a person sees the clouds, and then he says it's going to rain, and then the rain comes down, then nobody says this person made some miraculous prediction. Anybody, any child can see that if it's cloudy, and he knows a little bit about what clouds are all about, he said rain. He said, I'm just seeing something, I'm seeing the clouds, and I'm in the light of what I'm seeing, I'm telling you, please, as we say in our time, get your act in order. Otherwise, and he said it in such a way that there was no, as we say, mincing of any words. He said, if you don't do this, then please mark my words. He said, mark my words. Neither your businesses will be spared, nor your homes will be spared, and you won't be left to live in this country. At the time when he said it, nobody could even imagine what he's talking about. And he mentioned, please, I'm telling you, 10 years dedicate to bringing deen alive. And he said, if it was in my capacity, I would have closed down all your businesses and shops for a good period of time and told you all, dedicate yourself to deen, so that you can save everything. And there's still time to save it. But as it happens often, people come and say something, and they say, I don't know what this old man was raving and ranting about. In any case, he came and he went, and life carried on, and barely years later, the revolution took place. And people marked his words. That those who, Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us, Allah Ta'ala protect each one's life, wealth, izzat, honor. People left with the clothing on their bodies and had to move. People came in the morning to open their big, big businesses. They were told, please hand over the keys. There's no more yours. So this is the lesson that he gave. This is not some kind of ill thoughts about what should happen, na'uzubillah, Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us. But these are lessons to take. That in these occasions, these are happy occasions, make Allah Ta'ala happy first. Allah Ta'ala must be pleased. When Allah Ta'ala is pleased, then those marriages will be filled with barakat. But we have unfortunately confined the deen in one corner. That everything, the intermingling will take place and whatever else will happen, Islam, the parda section will be in the corner. Islam, you stay in the corner. The parda section will be in one sin. Deen, Islam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way of life, you stay in the corner, don't come and interfere with our gathering. You want to enjoy life. But this doesn't end there. That, well, I didn't do this, I'm not responsible for it. To attend such a gathering also is not permissible. To attend such a gathering is not permissible where the commands of Allah Ta'ala are being blatantly and openly violated. In one hadith it is mentioned, as Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala was invited to a walima. And as he approached, he heard some music being played. He took a U-turn and moved away. So somebody asked him, you didn't come? He said that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and I heard him say, "Man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum." The one who adds to the numbers of a people, he is counted among them. La yajuzul hudur inda majlisin fihi al-mahzoor. The great jurist of his time, Allama Ibn Abidin Shami rahimahullah, has summarized it in one line. That a gathering where the commands of Allah Ta'ala are being blatantly broken, it is not permissible to be part of that gathering. People, just because of some personal difference, they'll refuse to attend an invitation. Whereas that is not the basis. Just because they've had some personal difference with the person. Might be an immediate family person. But because of the personal difference, I'm not coming. But because of Allah Ta'ala's commands being broken, well, how can I not go? Because I will be now breaking family ties. Let us build a relationship with Allah Ta'ala first. Let us build a relationship with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first. And then together with that, we don't have to fight with anybody. We don't have to fight with anybody. And we don't have to break ties with anyone. But we cannot attend a gathering where the commands of Allah Ta'ala are openly being violated. And deen is being restricted in one corner. Deen, Islam, Nabi Islam's way of life, you don't come and interfere with us. You stay somewhere else. You stay in the corner. We'll make a space for you, but somewhere else. And then on top of that, all this will be now displayed for the whole world to see what kind of dancing took place, what kind of music was played, what kind of intermingling took place, what kind of dressing was there. And times, women would write and ask that, is it permissible for me to attend this place because of the type of dressing that is there? A woman cannot understand or cannot tolerate being in that gathering because of how women are dressing. And on top of that, there's intermingling in such a gathering. So these are things for us to take note of, for us to start taking, to introspect within ourselves, as life is very, very limited. Allah Ta'ala knows best how much of time we have got left. For us to bring that rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, to bring that blessings, we have to now become conscious of these means that bring the rahmat. Adopt these means. Avoid the issues that bring down the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. In this we will protect ourselves. We'll protect our families, we'll protect our wealth, we'll protect everything, and we'll protect our dunya and akhirat as well, which is the most important thing. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana.